Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
And of course, it's Monday, so we have crime on the minds. We have Lieutenant Jim Perez with the Fairfield Police Department joining us live. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. How are you today?
Oh, just fine, Jim. How are you doing?
Well, after the storm yesterday, it came quick and sudden, and we had a lot of issues, particularly in town, but with trees down and limbs and people getting injured. And but other than that, you know, it's a sunny day and we're moving on.
Yeah, but you can hear in your voice, it really was rough. I know one of our top stories this morning was the fact that a 54-year-old man passed away in that storm yesterday, a tree limb falling on his car. Do you have the latest update on that?
Well, we know that what happened was the family was heading, traveling on Sturgis Highway when all of a sudden the sudden onslaught of the storm took place and a tree limb fell, and unfortunately the individual was impaled in the tree, which is very, very extremely tragic, and we are all shocked. And I know that the officers that responded are very, shocked by this because, you know, we're humans. And so even though our job is law enforcement, and we see some very nasty things and not so good things, not the bright side of humanity, nonetheless, it does affect us. So, yes, it was tragic.
How are we doing this morning? I mean, how are we doing with the cleanup? What's going on with the aftermath of all of this?
Well, we still have over 1,000 UI customers that do not have power. I mean, there are trees down and power lines that are down. And, you know, this is something that was kind of expected, but not really. I mean, we always get those warnings that come through our cell phones or our televisions. And it's designed to protect life and to save life. And unfortunately, that happened. But, you know, there's many of them. And then all of a sudden you'll get a little bit of rain and not much. This was a pretty dramatic and strong storm that came through and caused a lot of damage in a little bit of time.
Do we know at this point, Jim, because we know this morning Sherwood Island State Park in Westport is still shut down. Do we know, I mean, we're coming up on the heels of 4th of July. We have the fireworks on Wednesday happening in Fairfield. Mm-hmm. How are the beaches and everything in that area? I mean, is everything going to be at least in good shape by then?
Well, you know, that's dependent on several factors. One, of course, the most important one of being how fast the utility companies can come down and everyone work together to actually fix all the problems. No electricity is one of the big problems, but also our DPW crews are working overtime and have been working since yesterday to clear up roads and to kind of just fix things pre-storm. But, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of decision-making. From our local politicians all the way up to directors of our agencies, as well as down to the patrol officer working on the street and the firefighter. Everyone has a kind of like a part to play in this. But keep in mind, we had several incidents specifically yesterday in Fairfield took place. We had the incident with the car accident, which was very, very tragic. We had a boat on the beach, in the docks that actually somehow made it onto the docks and damaged two other boats, and that happened at the same time. Then we have all these power lines. We had a storm surge where some of the underpasses were not accessible. So there were a lot of things that took place yesterday in a short period of time that generally just does not happen. And so, you know, our officer is just like every other town employee, and even in surrounding towns like Bridgeport and Trumbull, everyone did a phenomenal job. All first responders did a phenomenal job given the severity and the quickness of the storm. So it was good. We have leaders that allow us to exercise authority and decision making, and those things go a long way in protecting the community.
Taking a moment here with Lieutenant Jim Perez, Fairfield Police Department. This is our weekly feature, Crime on the Mind. Now, Jim, we're getting close to the 4th of July holiday. And, mm-hmm. As always, we want people to have a good time. We want you to enjoy yourself, but we want you to be safe. And I think two things that I think people need to be reminded of. One and foremost is the use of of fireworks. I always say leave it to the professionals, but nobody's going to listen to me. You've got to be careful with that. And the other one is grilling. You know, you're out there grilling and, you know, a lot of things could happen if you're not paying attention. Let's take the fireworks thing first. Any advice for people?
Well, you know, the time of year when 4th of July comes, everybody's excited, everybody's happy. You have a lot of visitors coming through. You see a lot of families you haven't seen throughout the year. So there's a lot of conversations to catch up on. But I will say that that is where our attention gets diverted. And once your attention gets diverted, especially from security or safety, accidents start to happen. And, you know, and it's tragic, but unfortunately there will be some accidents involving children being left unattended in swimming pools, gas grills that are defective. So it's important that first and foremost you check all your equipment, bring your gas propane tank to a professional and make sure that they understand, make sure that you get it checked so that you understand the safety factors involved. It's not just putting a gas grill together and then moving on. But with fireworks, I'll tell you this, fireworks can be extremely dangerous. And I know that people don't see it that way. There's a reason why we let professionals handle it, and there's a reason why we let them handle it away from as far as possible from civilization, i.e. in the waters. And that's because fireworks have an after effect where a lot of the burned fireworks that have taken place and going into the air, as it comes back down into the ground, it doesn't necessarily extinguish itself. So sometimes it can cause fires. You can destroy pools, backyard equipment, all those things. You can even start a fire from it. And that's why I think that we are all concerned about fireworks, and we say let the professionals handle it. I know it's legal to buy, but it's illegal, especially if it goes up in the air and explodes. It's illegal to actually set them off. So I think that when people are having their 4th of July party, keep that in mind, that every time you light a firework and you send it into the sky, you have no idea where that fireworks is landing. Chances are it's not going to land in your property, but maybe your neighbor's property and cause damage, and you will be held responsible for it, both legally and criminally.
And Jim, let's not forget the sparklers. A lot of people seem to throw that into the category of harmless, and sometimes they can be dangerous as well.
Yeah, they burn off rather quickly, but they also, the sparks can also cause danger, although we have not seen many incidences of that, but it can happen. And like anything, when you deal with anything involving explosives or materials that lead to that, it can be very dangerous. And I would say let the professionals handle it. But, you know, I don't see anything wrong with a sparkler necessarily, but I do see that if it's not done properly and in the proper location, and there's not supervision, which is the most important part of it, to prevent a tragedy, then something bad can happen. So you know, we want everyone to enjoy themselves. Clearly, you know, we love, as police, responding to calls where there's a great outcome. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. And so I think the more that people understand us as policing, as we police in Connecticut, I think the more that that everyone will work together to actually keep the community safe.
And while a lot of people are really excited, Jim, about the holiday and everything, I always feel pretty bad for the police, only because I feel like it means you have to work much harder. Let's talk, obviously, about drinking and driving. I do think when you have holidays like the 4th of July, I think sometimes the plan, the after plan, I would say, kind of goes out the window, figuring out, well, how am I going to get home, or where am I going to sleep tonight, or do I get in the car? I only had a couple of beers maybe an hour ago. And I think sometimes that has to be addressed, just having a pre-plan before you go out and you party, or you go to the beach to watch the fireworks, or wherever you go, having that pre-plan ready.
Yeah, you know, responsibility during drinking has always been the hallmark of safety, you know, and of making sure that everyone can enjoy themselves, but at the same time, be of sound mind to be able to survive. And so I would say that if you plan on drinking moderately, that you either have a designated driver. When people come over, I think that it's responsible. When you're hosting a party, I think it's a great idea to have a key dish. And so that's where you actually, as the host, you set up a key dish at the front door. And as people are coming in, you ask them to put their keys there. And then as a group, you can evaluate afterwards if someone is too intoxicated to drive. You can actually restrict that person, or maybe call a taxi or an Uber, or have someone else kind of give them a ride home. I think it's just a safe way of ensuring that no one on your property will leave and cause havoc or an accident. And you know what? I want people to understand that police officers You know, we have a very rewarding job, but we have a very incredibly stressful job. And I want you to imagine, for the average family out there, you know, tragedy doesn't strike every single day or every half a day. But for police officers, when a tragedy happens to a family, it happens to them as well, because they are emotionally, physically, psychologically involved in that call, whether it's saving a children's life or responding to an accident like yesterday, with the unfortunate fatality. We are affected by this. I mean, we're human beings. We're not robots. We're not super controlled AI machines. We are actually human beings that actually have children and have family and understand. The only difference for us is that every single day that they put that uniform on, whether it's or even not in uniform, you know, with a detective, we are exposed to negative, bad things that have happened to other people, and we respond in kind. And just understand that we are affected by that every single day that we go out there and work.
Lieutenant Jim Perez, who's with the Fairfield Police Department. Before we let you go, you talk about how, you know, real people, real emotions, and sometimes feeling like maybe you're under attack a little bit, either by the public mm-hmm. or, in this case, by the state, as you know, because sure. you're at the department. We mm-hmm. just want to touch really quickly, of course, on the recent report about racial profiling and sure. traffic stops. For some reason, Fairfield seemed to have been one of the main targets of that report, saying that if you are a minority and you're driving through, you're more likely to get pulled over in Fairfield. You're more likely to get your car searched versus just mm-hmm. getting off of the warning. I mean, what is the response from Fairfield Police? Is that, you know, was that shocking to you? And if that is the case, that this really is a problem, what's the department doing to address it?
Yeah, I don't know if I was surprised by the findings as much as I am by what we do. I mean, we every police officer that I know takes their job very seriously. In Fairfield, we have the fortune of actually having the resources to be able to enforce laws and especially motor vehicle law. Traffic motor vehicle law is the single biggest complaint in town, and it's something that we take so serious that we actually have a traffic unit whose sole responsibility, it's four officers and a supervisor, whose sole responsibility is actually to keep the town safe by monitoring traffic and making appropriate stops. You have to keep in mind that we have, and I want people to understand this in Fairfield particularly, you have a town with 60,000 residents. We have two major universities, five beaches, a lake, I-95 with seven exits, Merritt Parkway with three exits. I know they say two, which is Black Rock Turnpike and Jefferson Street, but I count Park Avenue as well. So that's three. There are over 10,000 visitors that either come in or travel through Fairfield, trying to get down to lower Fairfield County. We have officers that actually go out there and take traffic enforcement very serious, which it should be, in my opinion. And unfortunately, some of those people are going to be minority. And whether it is that they're just coming through town or they actually work in town, it is important for everyone to understand that there are laws that we enforce, so we don't pick and choose the laws. We actually enforce all the laws, including motor vehicle laws. And sometimes the officer has discretion when making that car stop. So, you know, the law, criminal justice and the law in Connecticut is, and pretty much cross country, is designed to have a lot of fail safes or, like, you know, oversight. So every stop that's made, you have the right, if you don't agree with the stop, to call a supervisor. And that supervisor will come down and can either agree with the officer or, you know, modify the enforcement action before it's actually taken. But once enforcement action is taken, especially now with computers, it automatically goes to the court. So when there's a car stop and either a ticket or a warning is issued, that's automatically entered, and the court almost instantly has a decision. Now, in policing, we have discretion. So when we make decisions, you know, we have the decision to enforce, not enforce. If we do enforce, we can give a written warning, a verbal warning, or maybe perhaps an infraction or a ticket, depending on the severity of the crime, or maybe the driver's, you know, unwillingness to to obey the law. But make no mistake, societal norms create our laws. Now, the Alvin Penform, which is a law that came out in, I believe it was in the late 1990s, but it was a public act in which the state of Connecticut pretty much said, listen, we're going to have to start tracking all these car stops to make sure that we have no disparities. Fairfield has long been not only not on the list, but we've been pretty steady with our car stops. Now, there is a bit of an uptick, but if you think about it, the percentage of minority versus the percentage of non-minorities and then the car stops, it may seem a little high for the minorities, but in reality, it's probably normal within the normal range. The problem is that, you know, there are some people who either don't want to get insurance on a car, or they don't want to register the car, or they can't, or they just simply can't afford it, but they still have to drive, and we understand that. But unfortunately, we make the stops pretty consistent across the board.
And you still have to do your job.
Yeah, and we have the responsibility of actually keeping the town safe, and sometimes the surrounding towns if they ask us for help. So policing is, listen, unlike other professions, policing is very difficult because on the one hand, you know, you become a hero when people need you and the police are always there. But then on the other hand, we become the boogeyman, you know, or boogeywoman when all of a sudden, you know, we're enforcing laws. The reality is, and what I've seen in my career, is that we are consistent in our traffic stops, and we are consistent in enforcing the law, and we have the resources to give us the opportunity to help keep the town safe, and that's partly how we do it. And unfortunately, there are people that get caught up, whether they be minority or not minority, that actually get caught up in the law enforcement system. And that's just, I mean, that's, you know, that's it. We continue to keep the town safe. We're really not going to change how we do things, other than we are going to keep track of it. By the way, Fairfield is one of the few towns who, after the requirements were not made for the car for the car stop forms, we still do them. We do them every day. We teach every one of our officers, whether they're brand new or whether they've been here for a while, to actually use those forms. So we still continue to not hide in the shadows, but come out and use those forms. And you know what? If it shows a little uptick, I get it. But know that we are doing everything within our power to enforce the laws and to keep everyone safe. And can we always improve in the community as a whole, whether it be with a minority group or not a minority group? Of course, every police department can. And that's the subject of what we do. We look for programs that actually will bring the communities together, given the fact that we have to be the enforcer. And, you know, it's almost similar to being a parent. You know, your children aren't going to want to do certain things, but societal norm calls that this is the way that we want them to be in our household. And so if you break the rules, there's a price to pay. And it's the same pretty much everywhere.
Jimmy, I thank you so much for taking a few minutes. It's always informative, always interesting. That's Lieutenant Jim Perez from the Fairfield Police Department. Another edition of Crime on the Mind. Thank you, Jim.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Would you believe that the most popular breakfast item in America is cold pizza? That's right. It's not.
Really?
Yeah. It's not eggs. It's not a bowl of cereal or a bagel. That stuff sounds pretty good, too. But it was pizza. Pizza that's cold in the refrigerator, that is the number one breakfast, according to this new survey. The most popular breakfast in America, cold pizza. 53% of people say that they would rather have a cold piece of pizza for breakfast than any of the traditional breakfast foods.
Huh.
Wow.
Maybe for convenience?
Well, maybe. But I gotta tell you, there's nothing better than cold pizza.
I know. I'm not upset about it. You know what I mean? I think I just had on last week for the sweet deal. I had cold pizza that was here. It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was a great breakfast at 5 a.m. I don't know. I think a lot of people are swapping things because breakfast for dinner has become very popular too. I've found that more people have more dinner, maybe lunch items for breakfast and have breakfast for dinner. So I don't know. Maybe we're just living in a backwards world, Tom.
Well, this is what I always did. I always did this. You know, I'd say to my wife, hey, how about pizza tonight? Okay. All right. I says, okay, I'll order. And then she'll go like this. Tone. Yeah. Just one large pizza. That's all. That'll be enough. Just one large pizza. Okay. And then I go in the other room and I say to the guy, can I get two large pizzas?
Yeah, exactly.
Two, you know. And then I'll come
one
back.
One is never enough. Come
now,
on.
Once it's in the house, what is she going to do?
What are you going to do? Right,
yeah,
right.
So you bring it in. She's like, what do you do all this for? Tomorrow morning, we're going to have pizza for breakfast.
And you're going to love me.
And she does.
Exactly. Of course she
does. She loves me. Yes.
It's the same. We actually just had this conversation yesterday because we went to go see my friend who just had a baby. So we went to go visit the baby and everything. And they had a cookout. Now, I'm the worst. If you offer me food, I'm not one of those people that will say, oh, no, I'm all set. I will take it. So they had a cookout. We had just gotten back from our wedding that we were in New York. And, you know, so we're kind of tired, and they said, do you want a burger? And I said, of course I do. So sure. I took a cheeseburger, and Derek said, you know, we're having cheeseburgers for dinner. We just went out and bought all this stuff. Why would you eat that? And I said, well, it's not like one burger is ever enough. I mean, stop lying to yourself. It's That's the true. Same thing with pizza. You can't go, it's this, when we go to Colony and we each get our own pizza, we always bring home another pizza because you're going to want it that weekend. If you're doing work in the yard, what's better than having a cold piece of pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, I just,
absolutely.
You're lying to yourself.
See, my wife gets aggravated. She says, all you think about is food. That's all you think about. She says, I used to look like Sophia Loren before I met you. You know, I says, oh, come on, honey. There's more of you to love. That's what I love about you. Are you kidding me? It's Tony and Melissa in the morning reading an article here. The average American only gets 10 nights of perfect sleep in a month. That's according to a new study. Now, about 67% go to extreme lengths to get a night of good sleep. And that can't be a surprise, seeing as 3 in 5 revealed that they have frequent trouble falling asleep, even though many admit to making common mistakes that hinder their slumber. Now, the way that I look at it, okay, I've seen a pattern. I have a terrible night on Sunday nights. Last night, I couldn't get to sleep, okay? And that's the way it is. Sunday nights are terrible. I'm great on a Friday night. Friday night, I could fall asleep and never look back. Saturday is pretty good. Sundays are horrible. And I think it's because on Sunday, you're laying in bed and you start thinking, oh, I got to go to work tomorrow, and I've got this to do. I've got that to do. Uh-oh, that's got to be done. And what about this? And what about that? You know, and it kind of preys on your mind.
Yes.
When you're lying there in bed, it really is. It could be a problem.
Yeah. Also, no matter how you spin it, you are way more relaxed on the weekends. You don't have an agenda. You don't usually have to get up for anything. Or if you do, it's a little bit more lackadaisical. So I think on Sunday nights, you always have the anxiety of, like you said, starting the new week. Also, just the unknown. How's tomorrow going to go? Am I going to make it into work with no problems? Is there going to be traffic? I know just hitting last week when you were gone, Tony, I had major anxiety. I got on the air with Christian at one point, who was filling in, and I said to him, I got on 95. I left early because I knew it was going to be all fill-ins, and I wanted to make sure everybody felt comfortable since you were gone, and I sat in bumper-to-bumper standstill traffic on 95 at 3:30 in the morning, and I thought to myself, are you kidding?
Yeah, today of all days.
All right, like, are you serious? How does that even happen? It has not happened once in all the times I either filled in or have started on this show. I never sat in traffic. And of course, the one morning that we have to just get in and just make this work while Tony's gone, I sit in standstill traffic for a half an hour. So the stress, I think, that builds up and all of that, I think just, it, you know, I think it's very natural that people don't sleep through the night. I didn't sleep through the night last night.
No, I never do. Not on a Sunday. I envy my wife. She did this last night. Okay, this is a pattern. She did this last night. She was on vacation all last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she starts ruining the last 2 or 3 days of vacation.
Sure, well, because she doesn't want to go back to work.
She doesn't want to go back, right? So last night, this was the story. I don't want to go back to work. I'm never going to be able to sleep tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, all right.
I'm waiting for her to fall asleep.
She shuts off the TV. She goes, good night. And here's what you hear. You hear the TV click, and then you hear...
That's amazing.
I find that amazing.
Wow.
Okay? And not aware of anything that's going on around her. For example, yesterday, okay, I got up early. I can't go any further than maybe 5 or 6 o'clock. I went into the bathroom. Okay? I was in there for a little while. I was getting ready for the day. She just walks into the bathroom. She just walks in. And when she walks in, she's like shuffling with her eyes closed. And when she sees me, she's like, ah! She gets scared. I says, well, who else did you think it was?
Right.
Didn't you know I wasn't lying next to you?
Right.
But she's in such a...
A deep
sleep.
Zone.
Yeah, it's a deep zone.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to know her secret.
Yeah, and believe me, she's not taking anything or, you know.
No. That's. I just think it's incredible. I mean... How does she do that?
I don't know. And she will do that most nights. She'll have a night where she tosses and turns, and I could tell she's having a hard time. But
sure.
For the most part, she's pretty good as far as that goes.
Some people are just gifted with sleeping. I know up until I had Chase, my gift of sleeping was I could fall asleep anywhere. I could fall asleep on a floor, on outside on the ground, in the back of a car. I'm good at that. I can do that. But I haven't been as good at doing that since having Chase. I think I'm a little too sensitive now. Like I said, we were at a wedding over the weekend, and I could not sleep because I wasn't in my own bed.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know the feeling.
Yeah, that gift already has gone away. I thought, man, I have something special, but by 29, I already lost my gift, so I don't know.
A couple of things, pretty crazy, and this one here I wanted to share with you. You know, can you take just a wild guess, and I'll give you within 1,000. How many languages do you think there are in the world?
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
You're speaking a funny one now.
108. That's what I guess.
All right, I'll go with
108.
Yeah, that's what we'll say. 108.
You're gonna go with Melissa in that? 108?
Yeah, I know it's wrong, but
jeez,
it's 108.
Jeez, Bill. Wow, that's not very nice.
I mean, I just figured you guys are a team. You can kind of like at least have a different guess and.
Okay, that's true. Win. Guess something else, Tone.
I'm gonna go with 500.
Jeez.
Okay. With big spread there. Okay, so within 1,000, that's for both of you. You can share the buzzer. There are about, this is crazy, 6,800 languages in the world.
Wow. That's
holy
amazing.
Moly.
Yeah, 6,800.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I gave you 1,000.
Okay. All right. That was nice of you, Bill. All right. Go ahead. We didn't take the hint.
Languages,
but that's okay.
There's no words to explain your. With all those languages in the world, I still don't have words to explain your
incompetence.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
English is good. Okay, how about this? You guys like watermelons?
Love
it. Yes.
It's the season, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, ironically, watermelons, which are 92% water, originated from the Kalahari Desert in Africa.
Really?
Now, think about that. That might make sense because, you know, cacti, they live in the desert and they store a lot of water. Well, to live in the desert, you would have to store a lot of water. So it kind of makes sense, but you think watermelons in the desert? You know, it's kind of crazy.
I could eat a whole watermelon by myself.
With or without seeds?
It doesn't matter, but I'd rather have it without seeds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I could eat a whole one by myself. No problem.
You know those ice cream scoopers, Tone?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever use these, but I open up a watermelon, I split them in half, and I just eat the watermelon with the ice cream scooper. I just take them
out.
Little.
That's a big, big scoop.
Well, I like watermelon, and I have a big mouth. I don't know if you've noticed on the air.
Yeah, well. Seeds or not, it's gone. That's it. But, I don't know. I think as a kid, did your parents ever tell you that if you swallowed the seed, it was going to grow?
Yeah, we got all of that. Sure.
Yeah, you got all.
Sure. Along with chewing gum, it takes 7 years for it to digest in your system.
Is that not true?
I don't think that's true.
Oh my God, no.
We still tell my sisters that.
I know. Everybody passes on. They go, that is so stupid. Anyway, you have a kid, you know, hey, by the way, if you eat that and that swallow, it's going to grow in your stomach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or grandma told me.
Yeah. Or you'd make a face and my mother would say, keep it up, Tone. Your face is going to stay that way.
Yeah, it's going to freeze
that
way.
One.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big one.
And we keep saying that. We think it's so ridiculous from our parents, but then we become parents and do exactly the same thing. And it makes sense then, huh?
It does. Now it makes sense. Sure.
It's time to take a look back. It's Today in History with Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
All right, 56 years ago today, 1963, the U.S. Post Office began using five-digit zip codes. All right, I thought it was a lot earlier than that. 40 years ago, 1979, the first Sony Walkman went on sale. Remember those things?
Oh, I love those. Yeah. I wish we still had those.
28 years ago, 1991, Michael Landon, he died from pancreatic cancer at the age of 54. One of the most successful actors on television. He spent 15 years on Bonanza. He spent like another 9 on Little House on the Prairie, and then he did like another 6 or 7 with another show that he had, Highway to Heaven, I think it was called. He was just on TV for like 20 20-something years straight. Unbelievable. 27 years ago today, my favorite movie, A League of Their Own, was released. 24 years ago, 1995, legendary disc jockey Wolfman Jack died of a heart attack at the age of 57. I remember my mother sending me to bed, and I would always pull the covers over my head, and you'd listen to Wolfman Jack. He'd be on WNBC Radio, and he'd be doing the all-night show. Good stuff. 19 years ago today, Walter Matthau died at the age of 79. And 15 years ago, in 2004, Marlon Brando, probably the greatest actor of our generation, died of respiratory failure caused by pulmonary fibrosis. He was only 80 years old. Only 80 years old. If I could sign a contract for 80 years old, I think I would take it at this point. All right, but he had one of the most memorable lines in motion picture history.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man. I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
It's too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
There you go.
And now, Random Knowledge with Tony and Melissa on WICC 600.
All right. Some random knowledge for you this morning. Did you know that Lisa Rinna, is an actress. You've seen her on Kelly and Ryan. Her mother survived a serial killer called the Trailside Killer. He murdered at least 10 people between 1979 and 1981, and he's still on death row.
I didn't know that. Lisa Rinna? That's crazy.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I wish that would have come up. She's on the Housewives of Beverly Hills or something.
She's
never brought that up before.
I didn't know that. So
I'll have to talk to Lisa Rinna about that. Why didn't you bring that up? Well, the movie Titanic cost more to make than the actual boat. The Titanic cost $7.5 million in 1912, which is around $196 million in today's dollars. The budget for the movie was $200 million. Shocking.
Amazing. Also, the first song ever heard on the moon was Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon. Buzz Aldrin played it on a portable cassette player after he stepped onto the moon in 1969. That's fitting, and that's the way it should have been.
I mean, Sinatra, you can't get anything better than Blue Eyes over here, so.
That's it. There you go.
I love it.
Fly Me to the Moon, one of the greatest songs ever.
I can agree with you on that.